0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Ange Postecoglou's away to Tottenham, but could Kyogo be following him? New names enter the fold as potential replacements as the club fight to keep a hold of John Kennedy, and Hearts name their new manager, but with a bit of a twist. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio tonight is David Freel. And David, the domestic football is over, but there is no lack of talking points for us this summer.
Yeah, Andrew, there never is in Scottish football. You know, it's just been another crazy day. Really, the favourite for the Celtic job is changing by the hour. I think Brendan Rodgers is now the favourite again. Des Buckingham has been introduced to the Scottish nation, the Mumbai City manager. And as you said, Hearts appointed Stephen Naismith as manager, only they didn't really. Just another crazy day in the world of Scottish football.
Yeah, and we want to hear what you think of it at home. 0141 951 1025. Of course, you can tweet us as well at ClydeSSB. But it's great to hear from you on the phone. So 0141 951 1025. And that's just what Scottish football does. The name Des Buckingham was not on anyone's mind at all. I don't think many people in this part of the world had heard of him. All of a sudden on social media, there's a photo of the Mumbai City manager at Glasgow Airport, and next thing you know, he's what, up to second favourite as the potential next Celtic manager.
Yeah, I always thought this managerial hunt, and it's obviously just started the last couple of days, Andrew, I always thought it would be, you know, there'd be twists and turns in it. But I was on a call. I didn't expect to come off that call to a barrage of text messages about Des Buckingham. I'll be honest with you, with all due respect to him, he's had a great career. I've had a look at him, I've googled him, but he won't be the next Celtic manager. He is on Glasgow, I believe, on a personal visit just to see a friend, so he won't be the next Celtic manager. I can assure everyone of that.
That was something I saw on Twitter just before we came on air. Was betting being suspended on Brendan Rodgers being the next Celtic manager? Please gamble responsibly, of course. But you see these things all the times, and you know, bookies tables are all done by sometimes, you know, the bets that people put on. So you never know, but certainly it's one that might get people talking.
Yeah, and look, I think some Celtic fans will want Brendan Rodgers back. Others won't after what happened when he left for Leicester in 2019. What I would say is I'm led to believe, and I think several others are as well, that Brendan would probably prefer a spell out of the game. He's obviously just left Leicester City not too long ago. I think he wants to recharge batteries, refresh. And I don't think a return to Celtic is on his agenda at this time. I think in the future he would like it, but as things stand, I don't think he's interested in a return to Celtic.
Lots going on at Celtic as well, and around the league as well. Rangers, of course, making that signing of Jack Butland yesterday. They're looking for more signings as well. Cyril Dessers could be one of the ones that Michael Beale is targeting. Plenty of stories about that. We'll get to the situation at Hearts as well. Stephen Naismith will continue to be in charge of Hearts, but in a slightly different role, or maybe the exact same role, but just in a different name. Billy Dodds has signed a new 2-year deal as well at Inverness. So plenty to talk about. Let us know what you think on 0141 951 1025. And when I was flicking through this morning's newspapers, David Freel, it was an exclusive from yourself that I saw to do with Kyogo and the fact that Tottenham are interested, Ange Postecoglou is interested in maybe sparking a deal to bring him down to London. Can you just give us that from your perspective?
Yeah, obviously there was a story, one of my colleagues down south at the weekend saying that Kyogo would be Ange Postecoglou's number one target. I don't think anybody would be really surprised by that, Andrew. He's been the poster boy for his Celtic time, his period. He has been, you know, the number one striker, scored so many goals in big games. We were speaking to Ange at the PFA Awards a couple of weeks ago, and he spoke about how Kyogo's got levels to go yet. He thinks there's a lot more to come from him. He's only 28, he's going to be 29 in January. He thinks he's still to reach his peak. So it's no surprise that he would be keen to get him. A lot of people are saying he may be a replacement for Harry Kane. I don't believe that would be the case. I think he would want him as a squad member. But the kind of premise of the story was today that there are a lot of clubs interested in Kyogo, a lot of clubs from the top five leagues. I believe several clubs from Italy, Spain, Bundesliga have scouted him this season. But what I would also say is Kyogo is very, very happy at Celtic. He's in no rush to leave. He's not going to agitate for a move. He's a consummate professional. We've seen him, you know, we speak to him through the translator, but he's always very respectful. Celtic also have 2 years left in his deal. They would be in no rush to sell. I think it would take a huge amount to sell him, but there clearly is interest in Kyogo.
Because that's it, if you score 50 goals across 2 seasons for a club like Celtic in a league like the Scottish Premiership, whether it is Tottenham or whether it is other teams, there is always going to be interest because clubs want goal scorers.
Yeah, of course, and I think there's always comparisons about strikers that have been at Celtic before. So Moussa Dembele attracted a lot of interest, eventually went to Lyon. Odson Edwards, Celtic managed to keep a hold of him until the final year of his contract, went down to Crystal Palace for £15 million. I would argue that Kyogo is up there with the two of them. I know, speaking to Callum McGregor a few weeks ago, he did an interview where he thinks that Kyogo probably rates as the best he's ever played with at Celtic. So look, it's a compliment to Celtic, it's a compliment to Kyogo that people will be interested in him. But as I said, he's got 2 years in his deal, he is happy, and it will take a big offer to get him away.
Well, we want to hear you get involved at home. 0141 951 1025 is the number. It's the number that Paul in Kirkintilloch has dialed. Paul, you're a Celtic fan. There has been, as I said earlier, no lack of talking points when it comes to Celtic. What are you taking from it all? Is it Ange Postecoglou? Is it Kyogo? Is it potential managers going forward?
Hey, hi guys. I don't really want to get in the kind of the overall ground with Ange. I don't want to proclaim him as a saint, and I don't want to think he's a villain. Disappointed, that's what I would say. Disappointed, but I was at the game on Saturday and he knew it was coming. He knew his interview after it, but it's time to kind of draw a line under it and move on. For all, he was good. Ange, couldn't really fault him, really. I think the new coach coming in, we should always strive to do better. And somebody that I would hope is better is somebody that can give us maybe 75% of the goals and the excitement. But in Europe, I would like somebody that knew how to set up a team to defend. And the last guy, and Brendan Rodgers was hopeless at it as well, to be honest. It's great playing this football, but if you're leaving the back door open, it's pointless, you know. The last guy, and people will forget this and kind of prove it, the last guy that set a team up done well for Celtic that could defend was Neil Lennon against Lazio when we won home and away. So I want a guy. I like the idea of attacking football, I really do, but I do want to have somebody that can set a team up in Europe. I mean, we're not going to win the Champions League, right, but I would like to do better in Europe. I would like to, there we go, Rangers got to the final of the Europa League. I don't think that should be out with Celtic's power every few years. So looking forward, I would like somebody that can set a team up to defend in Europe.
Yeah, it's an interesting point, David, because I think if Ange Postecoglou was going to stay, and you know, in the last few weeks and months, people had talked about, well, what does he need to do next season? If they do win the treble, how do you get better than that? And Europe was the one thing that everyone always came back to. And, you know, there was a lot of Celtic fans that were happy with the way that Ange Postecoglou approached the games in Europe, but they still finished bottom of their Champions League group. But however, it is always the priority to win those domestic trophies. And then if the manager can improve the team in Europe, is that a bonus? Or is it possible to then look at the whole package and think, you know what, there is a manager out there that could maybe get everything together?
No, I think the league's always a bread and butter, Andrew, but in the parallel universe where Ange Postecoglou stays, I think the one big thing everybody was wanting to see was how he adapted his tactics in Europe. I agree with you, it was thrilling to watch Celtic at times in Europe last year. It was gung-ho, you know, they didn't care about playing, you know, remember Callum McGregor gets injured, he just plays Martorelli as a holding midfielder, and it was very front foot football. It was good to watch. Celtic created chances, other teams created chances, but Celtic went out of the Champions League. So I think this year the challenge, and people are wondering, does he go and buy a midfield enforcer, you know, someone in the Wanyama style to go and make Celtic that bit more solid in Europe, especially away from home? I think that was always going to be his big challenge. And I think it's a fair point. I think Ange Postecoglou had done an amazing job at Celtic. The one thing that you could level at him, first year, the Bodo Glimt games, we're talking about the Bodo Glimt manager being a Celtic contender. Bodo Glimt ripped Celtic apart over two legs. Thought tactically they were much better. This year, Celtic got a tough group. But I think at times, especially in the two Shakhtar games and the Red Bull Leipzig games, I just felt Celtic could have been a bit cuter in terms of how they attacked and how they defended, and that was always going to be the challenge. So for whoever comes in next, I don't think they'll ever, no matter whether it's Knutsson or Enzo Maresca or Brendan Rodgers, whoever, I don't think the next manager will be as gung-ho in Europe as Ange Postecoglou was.
Paul, have you got any ideas of who you'd like to be the next Celtic manager?
To be honest, I don't. And as I get older, you do the last two. Well, Brendan Rodgers and Big Ange's kind of thought is that maybe you need to try to stop getting as emotionally attached to it. I think that's where a director of football would come in, where the manager, it wouldn't be a big deal so much if he moved on after a couple of years. As seems to happen, it's a no-win situation. You do well, you get a better job, and we're back to square one again. But in all honesty, I don't care who the guy's played for. I don't care what nationality is. I don't care anything about him. I just want a guy that will come in, has got decent tactics, and will make. I quite enjoy the Celtic's link with the City group. I don't know what if there's more of a link than we know about, but I enjoy that the way that all these teams play, they're attacking, but I want somebody that can defend a bit, because sometimes watching Celtic, and it was brilliant to watch, but it reminds us a wee bit of the teams when tactics went out the window. Like, I know that they're saying if they score five, you'll score six. You can't do that. It falls down. But I don't care who he's played for. I just want somebody that can set a team up right and make us a bit more potent in Europe and a bit more respectable.
David, do you think that Ange Postecoglou's success has maybe changed the mindset of some Celtic fans? Because there will be fans out there that, you know, when there's a new manager being appointed at their club, that they maybe only want a big name or someone that they've heard of. Ange Postecoglou came in and not really many people in this part of the world knew who he was. He said himself after the Scottish Cup final that some people thought he was a joke when he came to this country. The fact that he came in as a relative unknown and the fact he found so much success, do you think there's a chance that Celtic fans will maybe be a bit more open to whoever's appointed?
Yeah, 100%, because I think if you look back at the last couple of managerial hunts, you have had talk of Henrik Larsson, Roy Keane, make a statement, a big name. I don't think you're seeing that as much now. I think the Celtic board, you know, it felt for a lot of Celtic fans at the end of the world had happened when Eddie Howe knocked it back. Where does Celtic go next? This guy, Ange Postecoglou, arrives. And just look at the impact he's had. So I don't really think it has to come down to the name and what they've done in their playing career. I think Celtic board will do their due diligence. They'll look at various candidates. They'll look at older ones, experienced ones, maybe inexperienced ones. Everybody's talking about Enzo Maresca, obviously working with Pep Guardiola as Man City's assistant coach at the moment. But given how Celtic are playing, how the recruitment's working, how the style is developing, I think it's going to come down to a manager's style, his principles, his belief. But also, can he go and win, and can he handle the pressure? So there's a lot to take in there.
And it'll be interesting to see if that City Football Group link continues, because we've seen it today with Des Buckingham, the Mumbai City manager, people talking about him with that picture of him arriving at Glasgow Airport, the link with Enzo Maresca. Obviously, Ange Postecoglou was at Yokohama F. Marinos, who are a City Football Group as well. Is that something you think people should keep an eye on going forward?
Yeah, I think Celtic have had close links with Man City going way back. You know, if you think back to Jason Denayer, John Guidetti, Patrick Roberts, guys like that coming up, Dedrick Boyata signed. Obviously, the two clubs are pretty close. Mark Lowell obviously worked down there as well. And as you said, Ange was in the City Group too. So that was interesting yesterday. Pep Guardiola also talking about he's got a close relationship with Dermot Desmond, he was talking about, and their golf buddies. So, yeah, listen, it wouldn't surprise me if someone, whether it's the manager, a first-team coach, more players arrive via the City Group. But I think Celtic will cast their net far and wide, Andrew. This isn't they're not just looking at certain markets. I think Celtic are looking everywhere for a new manager.
Well, thank you to Paul. Next up is Michael, who's a Celtic fan in Liverpool. Michael, have you got any ideas of who you'd like to see in the Celtic dugout next season?
I'd like to either see that Areola, because I've just been reading about him, Andrew, and he apparently plays the exact same attacking football style like Postecoglou did. Like your man next to you there saying that basically we need the same sort of attacking style, because I know when Brendan Rodgers was there, he was successful, blah, blah, blah. But when Brendan Rodgers was at Leicester, Liverpool and then Celtic, he got found out, do you know what I mean? And but I'd either take Areola. I quite like the look of Maresca.
Is that Andoni Areola, he's a Rayo Vallecano manager up until the end of this season?
Aye, and I've also got, I like the Bodo Glimt Arneson manager, and I also like the Red Bull Salzburg. He's called Matthias Jessel.
Look, look, Michael's done his research here, but I think a big thing to take away from that is that a lot of Celtic fans are now focused on the style of play and the philosophies of the managers, because they've seen it firsthand with Ange Postecoglou. He had a style that was set in his head that was attractive, exciting football, and Celtic fans want that to continue.
Yeah, of course they do. And Celtic have also built a squad, constructed a squad in that style as well. So there's no point in having Rio Hatate, Jota, Lea Labada, Kyogo, all these guys, the fullbacks playing as they are, where you bring someone in who's just going to rip the whole thing up. Every manager will put their own stamp on things, Andrew. Every manager will tweak things. We spoke earlier about maybe being a bit more defensive in the Champions League. But I think Celtic aren't going to completely rip up this blueprint that has served them so well. It's been slight alterations from the Brendan Rodgers sort of blueprint. It's still a 4-3-3. I think Postecoglou's is far more attacking. Probably Brendan Rodgers' style was a bit more patient. Neil Lennon was somewhere in the middle. But I think the next manager, I can't see someone coming in having completely different ideologies about the game.
Michael, David was telling us earlier about the links between Tottenham and Kyogo and other clubs looking at him as well. How do you feel about that news?
I feel quite bad because I've been reading about that today as well, Andrew, and that, you know. And basically, apparently Dermot Desmond is trying to block Postecoglou from raiding the club. Also, they're going to offer Kyogo a new deal, I believe. But whether he accepts it or not is another story. Me personally, I don't want him coming and breaking up a winning team. But I think if he's going to get anybody, I think he'll try and take Jota or Hatate with him.
David,
or he'll raid them. I think he'll go for them. But I hope no, because I like Hatate. He's a good midfielder, and Celtic need all the good players they can for the Champions League assault. Do you know what I mean? So I'm disappointed that Postecoglou's left, right? But he was great for Celtic. He done miracles and that. Got respect for the guy. He'll go down in folklore and legend as a legend, what he done for Celtic and that. So me personally, I wish him all the best. But so for me, really, I just think all the Rangers fans and all that will be happy now that he's gone, because I think that's what they wanted, and obviously some in the media.
I think that's always a natural fear of fans if a manager moves on to what is a bigger league with a bigger budget, that they're going to come back and, you know, raid their previous side. I remember people saying it about Brendan Rodgers when he went to Leicester. That never transpired. Would you expect Ange Postecoglou to have his eye on a few Celtic players, or would you expect that, you know, Tottenham are potentially shopping in a different market because of the money they've got and he may look elsewhere?
Yeah, I don't see him coming for 3 or 4, Andrew. I think Brendan Rodgers did try for Callum McGregor, but Celtic managed to keep him, got him signed a new deal, became the captain. The rest is history, obviously. But look, I think he's shopping in a bit of a different market. I mean, you see the reports this morning, James Maddison for 50 million, the Wolves defender for 30 million, Harry Maguire potentially, the Brentford keeper Rea for 40 million as Hugo Lloris goes. This is a totally different market, but if he can get Kyogo for a huge fee in Scottish terms, but a relatively modest fee in English terms, I think he would do it.
Well, thank you to Michael. Maybe you've got some thoughts to add to that on 01419511025. Rangers fans, what do you make of the business that has been done by Michael Beale so far? What would you like to see him do next? Hearts fans, maybe you've got some thoughts on the new managerial appointment and you want to try and make sense of it. Give us a call on 01419511025.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
David Friel here with me, Andrew McLean, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, and we want you to join us as well. 01419511025. It's been another busy day in Scottish football. There's also some Scottish representation in a European final tonight. A Scottish manager, David Moyes, taking charge of West Ham.
Yeah, I've got a wee soft spot for West Ham, Andrew, I must admit. And it's been great to watch their, you know, last year they had a great run in Europe, this year again. Really thrilling games. Semi-final was amazing to see. And look, we wish David Moyes all the best, make a bit of history. I think he said yesterday it would be the biggest moment of his career if he manages to win it. And he's had a great managerial career.
It just shows how long seasons are as well, because I was looking at the fixture of Fiorentina playing against West Ham, and I was thinking, I saw Fiorentina play a while ago, and then realised, saw them play against Hearts in this competition this season. It just seems like a lifetime ago, and it was just earlier on this season.
Yeah, I was kind of reminded of that when I was watching the kind of finale of the Belgian League the other day, and Union Saint-Gilloise played Rangers this season in a Champions League qualifier, which seems remarkable, and we've still got two games to go with Scotland as well.
Yeah, let's get back to the Scottish football though. 1419511025. Ted is a Celtic fan up next, and Ted, on my screen it says you're calling from New York City.
No, I'm calling from Carluke. I'm originally from New York City.
Oh, there we go. You're from New York City. I see. We can tell from the accent, actually.
Yeah. The name is Ed, by the way.
Oh, Ed. Sorry. Right.
Yeah,
well,
that's all right.
It's wrong on my screen, but we'll get that amended for next time. Don't you worry, Ed.
All right. Yeah. You know, this whole mess with Ange going down south troubles me. I'm almost going to say it disgusts me, only because that, you know, we trusted in him. You know, that term, in Ange we trust, wasn't just, you know, some motto we like throwing around. We trusted in him. And trust is not something, you know, you just can buy or sell. It's earned. You know, it's like respect. It's earned, you know. I mean, Ange left here with unfinished business. You know, he wanted to take us into the Champions League. That was his goal, to see how far we could go, okay? And he's left with unfinished business, and that I don't like.
That's it, David. There will be plenty of Celtic fans that have that feeling of hurt because, you know, no matter what happens with a player or manager that they create that bond with, no matter how they leave, you know, some Celtic fans, I've seen them say they didn't like the way that Ange Postecoglou handled it. There's others that, you know, say thanks for your service and good luck at Tottenham. But there will be that feeling of hurt from some Celtic fans, and Ed is one of those.
Yeah, and it's understandable, Andrew, because Ange Postecoglou built up such a rapport with the Celtic fans. He's such a connection. The Celtic fans loved the way his team played. They loved listening to him. And just to pick up on what Ed is saying, I think if you asked Ange Postecoglou, if we got him in here right now, do you have unfinished business at Celtic? I think he'd probably say yes. I think there was other things he wanted to achieve. I know he was desperate to make Celtic a knockout stage team in the Champions League again. But I think if you also asked him, was this opportunity too good to turn down? And he said it in the Celtic statement yesterday. He would say yes. It's not every day that a manager from Scotland gets an opportunity like that. And I get it, Celtic, you know, in terms of Spurs, size of clubs, for me, Celtic are a bigger club than Spurs. But Spurs are in a bigger league. As we're speaking off air as well, Andrew, Ange Postecoglou 2 years ago couldn't get an interview for a job in Europe. He was getting knocked back for AEK Athens. He was talking about going on to Zoom calls and nobody turning up on the other end. He thought he was going to be trapped. He was maybe going to have to go back to Australia. 2 years down the line, after unbelievable time at Celtic, he is now the Tottenham Hotspur manager. I don't think he would have believed that. But just to touch on what Ed is saying, it was just too good for him to turn down.
Yeah, I mean, Ed, do you see that side of it? The fact that, you know, maybe it's a case of Ange Postecoglou did love his time at Celtic, but he just felt that it was an opportunity, an offer that he couldn't turn down?
Yes, I do. And I'll tell you why. When a man has a vision, when a human being has a vision, he wants to see things around him get better. He sees where he can take things, okay? To achieve that vision, you can't buy that type of satisfaction within yourself. You can't buy that around you. Sure, it's a risk. If Celtic next year fell on their faces again with everything he wanted to do, okay, he might have lost out on a few coaching opportunities. But you know what? Okay, fine, he's offered all this millions of pounds and a great stadium and training facility. But you know what? Money can't buy you satisfaction, can't buy you happiness, can't buy you that contentment that achieving your goal, achieving your vision can bring you. Pure and simple.
Yeah, I mean, David, people always bring money into it. And of course, there is a crazy amount of money in the English Premier League with teams, you know, I was going to say at the top end, at any end of the Premier League. But yes, money will play a part in this. But Ange Postecoglou turns 58 years old this season. Will there possibly be a feeling for him that, you know, he has to take this opportunity if he wants to get to the top of the game, that this is an opportunity he can't turn down, whether the money aspect's there or not?
Yeah, 100%. During his Celtic time, and especially after Celtic started getting success, and I'm talking about in the last probably 6 to 12 months, he was asked about his future a million times. He was always very guarded, Andrew. He always spoke about living in the moment. He never looks too far ahead. There was one interview he did when he was over in Australia to promote Celtic's trip over there. It was obviously with a colleague that he'd known for a long, long time. And right at the end, he was asked, what's next for Ange? And he actually said, look, I'm 57, I'm not 47, I'm not 37. I've got a limited time to achieve what I want to achieve. I've got his actual words were, I've got horizons I want to conquer. And that's what he's done. That is what he's done. He's taken this chance to go to Spurs. I think he felt that if he stayed at Celtic for another crack of the Champions League, would another job like this come up? Nobody can tell. All he knew was that for whatever reason, Spurs obviously went through various different people in the process. They came down to him, they offered him the job, and he's gone.
Ed, are you confident that Celtic can make the right moves now to replace him and keep that success going?
Yes. Yes, I do believe in the board. They found Ange Postecoglou somehow. You know, there are two big candidates that seem to be coming up out of virtually nowhere. The manager of Bodo Glimt, who when we played Bodo Glimt last February, these guys played Ange's game, the fast passing, the quick speed on the pitch. Now, the reason they were so easy to beat us was because they hadn't started their season yet, and we were in the middle of ours. So, you know, he seems to have his head in the right place and somewhere which we can work with. The other one is this guy who's now come up today, and I don't know his first name, but his last name I know is Buckingham. He seems, you know, he's coming out of Mumbai. He seems to have the credentials. You know, I do believe the board will find somebody, because whoever it is, they're going to have a tough act to follow. No question about it.
Yeah, certainly has big shoes to fill. You know, a couple of names there, Knutson and Des Buckingham. The Des Buckingham one is, you know, picture of him at Glasgow Airport. There's a City Football Group. I think people will always just run away with that.
Yeah, and we're told there's nothing in it, Andrew. They're basically told he's here on a personal visit and he won't be in contention for the Celtic job at all. I think Ketil Knutson, the Bodo Glimt manager, Bodo Glimt actually play tonight as well. He's obviously linked with Ajax at the moment. As I said earlier, he's knocked back Bundesliga jobs, Premier League jobs. Very, very highly rated. I think he fits the bill. I do. I think he's a guy who builds teams, played in a certain way, had really good success in Europe, won two Norwegian titles. 54, he's got a lot of experience. Don't know whether there's parallels there with Ange Postecoglou as well. So I would have no qualms about Ketil Knutson in terms of Celtic. I think he'd do a good job if he got it.
Well, thank you to Ed. 01419511025. We will speak to Andy, who's a Partick Thistle fan, next, just to get into that story that was coming out of Partick Thistle today to do with their finances, saying that they expect that last season they will have had a loss of around £300,000. I think I saw a statement from the Jags Foundation saying that essentially, you know, that cup draw against Rangers, which was just luck, it got them money which maybe would have helped them pay wages they wouldn't have been able to pay otherwise. And, you know, after the disappointment of not getting promotion, that is, it's worrying coming out of Partick Thistle, isn't it?
Yeah, Partick Thistle sort of kind of preempted this a few months ago, Andrew, with a statement about their finances in terms of a shortfall until the end of the season. You know, as you're saying, they got that cup draw at Rangers, very unlucky on the day actually, and I think that did help them. But they've lost Scott Tiffany, one of the best players, did indeed today as well. I can't help but think that Sunday, 3-0 up in the tie with 19, 20 minutes to go, was Partick Thistle's shot at glory. It could have solved so many problems. Football, financially, it could have been so huge for them. And I just wonder if they can bounce back immediately from that. You know, they're going to lose probably more players. I'd imagine Kyle Turner will be in demand. I thought he's been outstanding, especially through this playoff run. Scott Tiffany was a standout, and I'm not surprised indeed they've snapped him up, taken him to the Premiership. But yeah, it was worrying financially in terms of Partick Thistle.
Yeah, Andy, what have you made of that today? I can imagine it's not great reading, especially off the back of what happened on Sunday.
Hi guys, how you doing? Obviously, I left a couple of days with it phoning in with the other news that's going on, but I was up in Dingwall on Sunday, and it's a sore one to take. The drive up, obviously, we went up with the boys, and we were aware it wasn't an easy task, even being 2-0 up. We knew Ross County were probably the favourites. But when we scored the third goal, and there's 20 minutes to go, you're thinking we've done it. You know, whilst we're not over the line, it was harder to throw that game away. I think it was just a game too much, even though we should have won it. We are playing five more games or four more games than County. We played on the Thursday. You could see in the fitness the guys were struggling a bit. But to be honest, we should never have lost it. So I'm hurting today. And then obviously when the
Andy, I'll take that point on the football, and I'll let you come back in on the finances today, because I think when Partick Thistle scored that goal to make it 3-0 on aggregate, I think pretty much everyone just expected that Partick Thistle would be, you know, in the Premiership next season. I was talking to one of my friends who wasn't watching the game, and he said that he'd been out and about, he'd looked at his phone on an app that was updating the score, he saw 3-0, put his phone away and thought, well, there you go, Partick Thistle are in the Premiership next season. Couldn't believe it when he went back on his phone later on.
Yeah, I think everyone was surprised, but I would go back to the first leg. Andrew, you know, you had Ross County playing with 10 men for so long, Partick Thistle had chances. I think they could have put the tie to bed then. I think if they scored a third or a fourth, they would have been through. I felt watching the game, I don't know if Andy will agree, the Partick Thistle were very nervy, especially in the first half. Obviously they get the goal, Fitzpatrick, great finish, and then you think they're going to finish the job. But the killer goal for me was Simon Murray, the second goal. It came so fast, the tide completely flipped. Ross County then have a, not a foothold in the game, but they've got something to cling on to. They know that it's only one more goal and that will force extra time. And you know, I felt for Partick Thistle, I felt for Chris Doolan. I think he's done an amazing job. You look at his record since taking over from Ian McCall, but maybe it was just one game too far.
Yeah, Andy, how are you now feeling about next season after seeing that news today?
Well, I was kind of hoping before I read the statement, and whilst I kind of knew the finances might have, I mean, there's been something in the background. Jackie Lowe and the previous board hadn't released any of the accounts, so we knew there was something wrong. It's been an ongoing chat, and I can understand why it hasn't been released. It takes maybe the attention away from what's happening on the park. But I was kind of hoping we could now go into this season and push for the title, try and win it. After seeing that news today, I'm really worried. I hope my worries are just kind of overthinking, but it's not looking good. I don't see if the finances are as bad as they are, 280 to 300,000 as I was this season. I don't see how we're going to possibly be able to get a player budget to bring in new players, to pay the wages. And like you guys have already said, Tiff's gone today. Kyle Turner played amazing. I'd be surprised if he stayed. I've heard rumours that some other key players are already in talks to go. So it's a bit of a sore one to take. If you're going on a high, you think you're playing Premier League football to now waking up today and reading that, it's a sore one. I have to say, as a fan, I'm not in a good place football wise today. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, it's just one of these sliding doors moments that you see in football all the time, David. That even if Partick Thistle had come out and said this exact same thing today, if they were a Premiership side, then there wouldn't be anywhere near the amount of worries there is that they're still a Championship side.
Yeah, the financial disparity. Obviously, they would make a lot more money in the Premiership, bigger crowds, bigger slice of TV money, everything as well. And I also think if you look at the Championship, do I sound doom and gloom for Andy? But if you look at the Championship next year, Queen's Park will go again. Queen's Park, great infrastructure, great investment, they'll go. Dundee United won't mess about, they want straight back up. Mark Ogden's been very, very clear on that. He expects him straight back up, given Jim Goodwin the job. Then you look at how competitive the league was as well. And then you've got Dunfermline coming in, who will spend a bit of money. James McPake, very good manager. So I think it's going to be hard for Thistle to replicate what they've done this season. They came so close. As I said, I felt for them, but I just feel, as you say, sliding doors, shot at glory moment, and they didn't take it.
Well, thank you to Andy. We still want to hear from you on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Rangers fans, we've not heard from you yet. Maybe you've got some thoughts on your transfer business this summer. Give us a call on 01419511025.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
David Friel here with me, Andrew McLean, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We want to hear from you as well. 01419511025, or you can send us a tweet at Clyde SSB. Let's go straight back to the phones though, because Craig is a Rangers fan in Maryhill. Craig, there was a signing wrapped up by Michael Beale yesterday, the third of the transfer window so far. What do you make of Jack Butland's arrival?
Well, I think he's got to be the best keeper since Andy Gorham.
Best keeper since Andy Gorham? It's a big shout.
No, just in a Rangers shirt, at any SBL team.
What gives you the confidence, Craig?
Well, you just need to look Andrew's away, because look at the signings that Beale's making.
Craig's making the point about Jack Butland there. He thinks he's going to be a great signing. Do you agree with that, David?
I think he's going to be a good signing for Rangers. I don't know if I'd say
not
he's going
quite
to be the
extent
best
of
goalkeeper since Andy Gorham. I think Stefan Kloss and Alan McGregor might be adjusting their radios at the moment. Yeah, look, he's not played a lot of football in the last couple of years. Obviously been at Crystal Palace, Man United, but he is still only 30. I was actually quite surprised. Seems to have been about forever. He's got 9 England caps. you know, really, really rated as a young goalkeeper, played a lot of games for Stoke, obviously had some loan spells after that as well. But I think Michael Beale was pretty clear, Andrew, that he wanted key positions nailed down. We might talk about strikers later on, but a goalkeeper is so important. Robbie McCrory did get some games, and I'm sure he will battle Jack Butland, but it looked as if Michael Beale wanted a senior leader as his number one. And in Jack Butland, I think he's got, that's a 4-year deal, great, you know, a lot of faith put in him. I don't think he'll be cheap wage wise, but Rangers are getting him on a free, so that sort of offsets that. And look, I think, you know, everybody will probably draw a bit of comparison with Joe Hart. Joe Hart came up at a later age, but I think he came up with a point to prove. I think Jack Butland will come up with a point to prove. I think he's not, as I say, he's not played a lot of football, so he'll want to get back into things. Talked about, you know, playing in Europe, all that sort of stuff. So I think it's a good signing for Rangers.
You look at the form that Todd Cantwell has had under Michael Beale, and he was a player that had maybe lost his way, had a lot of potential when he was younger, and is now really finding his feet up here. That'll be the type of thing that Michael Beale will want to be able to do with Jack Butland. And there's been other players that he's been linked with previously that maybe have that story, that, you know, were a sort of bright spark when they were younger and their career's gone a bit wayward. And Michael Beale must have the confidence that he can get the best out of these players.
Yeah, you want players who are coming up here, they're hungry, they've got desire, they want to do well. As I said, Jack Butland clearly could have stayed, whether it's at Man United, whether it's at Crystal Palace, whatever, gone and maybe been a number two somewhere, going down to the Championship and being a number one. But he clearly wants a challenge up here. He clearly wants to come up and try and win trophies, to experience Champions League qualifiers, Rangers try to get in the Champions League group stages potentially. So I think there's a lot to like about the signing. As I said, if you look back at his career, okay, it's maybe not gone as he hoped in the last couple of years, but this guy's got pedigree as a goalkeeper. He's played in big games, 30 years old, really good age for a goalkeeper. I mean, 30 is nothing for a goalkeeper. So I think his best years can be ahead of him with Rangers.
Michael Beale tested out Robbie McCrory towards the end of the season. He always said he was going to do that. Everyone knew that Alan McGregor was going to leave at the end of this season. John McLaughlin, you know, didn't have the best time of it when he was given his chance this campaign. Robbie McCrory's just signed a new long-term deal. Do you think that he's now just back to being a backup for next season, as Jack Butland comes straight in that number one spot?
I think he'll come in as number one, but I think it's up to Robbie McCrory whether Jack Butland stays as number one. You know, you're not bringing a former England, or you know, I'm sure Jack Butland wants to get back in England squad one day, but you're not bringing an England cap up here to be play backup, I wouldn't imagine. But Robbie McCrory is in and around the Scotland squad now. I think he did pretty well in his last few games, rated very, very highly. So it's up to him. You know, I dare say Robbie McCrory will give it potentially first half of the season, maybe the full season, see if he can oust them. If he can't, then maybe he'll move on. But I think Rangers have got two good goalkeepers there. It probably means John McLaughlin's going to go. I think Kieran Wright signed a new deal, the sort of third, fourth choice goalkeeper not too long ago. So I would look at John McLaughlin as potentially one that will go out the door this summer.
I asked a caller last night what was next for Michael Beale. What was the main position he needed to address now? And they said up front, they wanted a striker. They wanted someone to replace what Alfredo Morelos has done over the last few years. There's certainly a lot of reports about Cyril Dessers, who is a Nigerian international. He's playing for Cremonese in the last season in Serie A. There's actually reports in the last few minutes coming out of Italy that talks are apparently well advanced between the clubs. They're claiming that a fee's been agreed of 4.2 million euros with a further payment of 1 million euros. So we'll see if that turns out to be true or not. But certainly a lot of talk that is a player that Michael Beale is interested in.
Yeah, I think if you look at the Rangers team now, I would imagine Michael Beale will add another centre-half, but he's pretty well stocked in midfield. He obviously brought Dujon Sterling in, who can play either side, you know, fullback, can play up the pitch as well. He's got his goalkeeper now. I think centre forward has to be the priority. It just has to be. And I think he'll actually sign a couple, you know, if not out and out number nines. You know, Dessers, it looks, as you're saying, it looks as if Dessers is getting closer and closer. Then he'll sign other guys that can play along that front line. Morelos is going. Kemar Roofe, a good player, an effective player, but he's never really fit. And I think Michael Beale needs two or three guys he can really hang his hat on. He's lost Ryan Kent, he's lost Alfredo Morelos. Fashion Sakala can be good in bursts, but it's so erratic and inconsistent. Michael Beale will be looking at that area, and it wouldn't surprise me if Cyril Dessers is in, followed by some others, Andrew.
Because Michael Beale also said a few months ago, he said he'd effectively been told what his budget was for next season. He said in comparison to what previous Rangers managers in the last few years have been given to spend, he was very happy with it. Rangers haven't spent any money on transfer fees so far. Of course, you know, Jack Butland is probably going to be on a fair whack in terms of wages, but no transfer fees have been paid so far. Would you expect that striker area to be where Michael Beale does put quite a bit of his budget into?
Yeah, because I think you pretty much get what you pay for. You know, I think if you're just looking to find bargains in those key areas, I think it can be hit and a miss. You know, if you want to talk about, you know, there was stats doing the rounds the other day about Celtic front three of Kyogo, Jota and Leal Abada, the amount of goals they've scored in the last 2 years, it's over 110, I think. Between them, they cost about £15 million. So Rangers, if they're going to invest some money, I think it will be in that area. And bear in mind as well, players will go out. So Glenn Kamara, you know, Michael Beale was, you know, pretty emphatic the other day that if Glenn Kamara really fancies a career reset, he's probably better going. Rangers will get a wee bit of money for him. Ben Davis, does he have a future? We don't know yet. So I think money will be coming in. And for me, if Rangers are going to strengthen and spend a bit of money, it has to be in that forward area.
Just on that point of Abada and the likes of, you know, Jota, the goals that Celtic have in those wide areas, it's really not something Rangers have had for quite a while now. And it's not even really that Michael Beale plays with wingers all the time. Quite a lot of the time he's played with more of a number 10 with two strikers, but he needs goals from his forward players, because James Tavernier, they've relied so heavily on for goals. He was their top goal scorer in the Premiership again this season. They need a striker, but they needed their other forward players to be contributing.
Yeah, for me, any title winning team, you need your number 9, you need your striker that's going to get you 25-30 goals. But after that, I think you need 4-5 guys that are going to pitch in with 10 plus. Rangers just didn't have that. I mean, you've probably spent so much time talking about Ryan Kent and his numbers and what he contributed. He just didn't score enough goals. Good player in flashes. He had some real great spells with Rangers on his day. A fantastic footballer, but doesn't have the end product that Michael Beale needs for next season. I wasn't really surprised that in the end Rangers just decided to kind of part ways with Ryan Kent. I think it was a bit of a mutual thing. Rangers need to bring guys in who will get on the end of things. You know, Scott Arfield's another one they'll miss, because Scott Arfield, when he did play, could chip in. Todd Cantwell started really well in that sense, scored a lot of goals towards the end of the season, that he'll need to kick on again next season. But yeah, he needs to get goal scorers in his team from all areas.
It remains to be seen how Kieran Dowell and Dujon Sterling and Jack Butland will do. But one thing that will be encouraging for Rangers fans is that business is getting done early. There's three players on the door. It's only the 7th of June today. Rangers aren't back for pre-season for a wee while yet. The fact that Michael Beale will have those bodies in the door for the first day of pre-season, any manager would want that, having maximum amount of time to bed in new players.
Yeah, maximum amount of time to bed them in, but also the Champions League qualifiers are looming. You know, I think the seed and the pots are going to be coming out quite soon. Just, you know, confirmation. Rangers will know they're going to have to go through two qualifiers to get to the Champions League group stages. You don't want upheaval. You don't want additions during that period. You want to have as much of a solid team base as you possibly can. And I think Michael Beale, you know, getting Kieran Dowell in, getting Nico Raskin in, getting Dujon Sterling, that'll only help Rangers settle at the start of the season.
Well, unfortunately, that's all we've got time for tonight. It's quite incredible. Tomorrow is the Viaplay Cup group draw, which is incredible that, you know, the season's only finished on Sunday and already tomorrow we're going to be finding out who's playing who.
Happy new season, Andrew.
Exactly. There we go. And we've got plenty to talk about throughout the summer as well, so I hope you will continue to join us. Of course, Celtic on the hunt for their new manager, so it'll be good to see what happens there. And of course, Rangers continuing their transfer business. Hearts have Stephen Naismith as their new manager, technical director, whatever you want to call him. Plenty to talk about throughout the summer. So make sure to join us, and thank you for joining us tonight and for all your calls and tweets.